Don't let this happen to you, boys and girls. From Behind Bars, 40 Tales of Prison, Jailbreaks, and Death on two CDs. It's Tupelo County Jail today. How it ends. James O'Gwynn with Tupelo County Jail at 7:02. I'm Ron Robinson.
And I'm Carol.
We are the Saturday Morning Show. We're here for you in a white, cold room, as I say, for the month. And then we hope to be back in our studio. But we don't have all our technical possibilities with us here, like IDs, etc. And
right.
A couple of other things we can't do, but never mind, we'll
yes,
carry on.
Like our normal opening theme music.
One thing I can tell you just arrived today,
yes.
And that's the new Stylus magazine.
Ooh.
Yes. It's for the summer. And of course, being a Stylus magazine, that means on page 15 and 16 is what you want to turn to, boys and girls.
Just page 15, I think.
Yeah, well, page 15 has the full schedule.
Yes.
At a glance, we're here for you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at 95.9 on your FM dial. Or you can listen online. You can listen overseas. Hello, Ireland. Come in, Ireland. When Irish. Thank you.
Or England.
And England as well.
Ethiopia, you never know.
Nation, yeah. Ethiopia. Well, if Mick's there, you never know. Yes, all right. And all the shows are listed here in slightly shaded to indicate music, local spoken word, alternating week, temporary programming. And if you turn that page over, you see, from 15 to 16, it's CKUW, CKUW, band for band, Fridays, 3 to 4 p.m. There's a two-page spread on one of our programs, and you can learn more about the person who puts it together and the kind of music they want to play. As well, a bit of an information publication is as well, if you're in the music business here locally as well. Into news, views, and interviews in Stylus. Now, I see this occasionally at the Winnipeg Public Library branch. My branch, anyways.
Yep.
And then here on campus, of course. And I'd like to
into the
think
music.
Into the music, but I'll grab a few more.
Yeah, I think
every
I've
Monday.
Seen McNally's.
And so I'll take some with me as well for Into the Music, which shall be there probably on Monday or so.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know what? There used to be a show on before yours on Thursday called Square Wave.
Yes.
And it was video game music.
Yeah, that's right.
Like,
composer
really?
Of, yes.
Are you kidding
yes.
me? But really, I would tune in because waiting for your show, and then I started listening to the whole thing
go.
Because
there
it was so interesting.
Very enthusiastic
yeah.
and very
so
knowledgeable.
I have to, I have to let my nephew know because he runs video games, and he may or may not like it. but some of his customers may or may not like it. So I have to
Well, it's been shifted, hasn't it, to what, Saturday, is it?
Yes, so
yeah,
it's moved now till later on today, I think at 1 in the afternoon. And it's just a half, oh no, maybe it's an, might be an hour show. Yeah. Anyways, I found it interesting, even though I have no real interest in video games.
Now, what about the weather, Carol?
Well, I'm just checking as I'm talking to see if I've got something current. And I do have the 7 o'clock music. I mean,
even the weather would be good.
Yep.
Yes.
15 degrees out there now, so it's gone up 2.
There you go.
Barometric pressure, 101.8 and falling. But I think if I was looking at the University of Winnipeg site, it would say falling slowly because it's not going anywhere in a big hurry here. Good. But the humidity has dropped to 94%, so that's good. Wind coming from the northeast at 8, and there will be a mix of sun and cloud today, 30% chance of showers late in the afternoon, risk of a thunderstorm, of course. A high today of 29 and a humidex of 36. That means the UV index will be 8. That's considered very high. So if you have to be out for any length of time, make sure you're covered up or you've got sunscreen on. Clouds are not good enough to cover, so more shade.
I'll have to dig that out.
Pardon me?
I'll have to dig that piece out.
What piece?
Wear sunscreen. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, okay.
Wear sunscreen indeed, because clouds are not enough. In any case, that's what we're getting today.
7:06.
Yep, and tonight, more cloud, more chance of showers, more risks, thunderstorms.
I think that's life, Carol. That's life.
Yes,
life's full of thunder showers and risks. And
yep.
Anyways, born on this day in 1895, Irving Caesar, born Isidore Kaiser, American lyricist, composers, primarily for theater, wrote lyrics for numerous song stands, including Swanee, Sometimes I'm Happy, Crazy Rhythm, Tea for Two, it's one of his as well, one of the most frequently recorded tunes ever written, Songwriter Hall of Fame in 1972. He was a successful Hollywood screenwriter, and around 1901 he composed his first poem, which can be ascribed to his exposure to literature in the environment of his father's bookstore. That's how it happened, said. Spent their childhood teen years in same Manhattan neighborhood as the Marx Brothers. He knew the Marx Brothers during his childhood.
Goodness.
Anyways, we've many, many, many songs, but here's one with, well, somebody else's, because I realize now it's a medley, but he also did.
Yes.
Came up with I'm Just a Gigolo.
Oh, really? Didn't know, can't imagine him singing it.
I'm just a gigolo, gigolo. And everywhere I go, gigolo. People gigolo. Know the part I'm playing. Gigolo. 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 Paid for every dance, gigolo. Selling his romance. Gigolo. Oh, what they say. There will come a day, and youth will pass away. What will they say about me? When the end comes, I know there's just a gigolo's. Life goes on without me. And just a gigolo, gigolo. Everywhere I go, gigolo. People know the part gigolo. I'm playing. Gigolo. 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 Paid for every dance, gigolo. Selling each romance. Gigolo. Gigolo. Oh, what they say. Gigolo. 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 And there will come a day, and youth will pass away. What will they say about me? When the end comes, I know there's just a gigolo. Life goes on without me, 'cause
I ain't got nobody.
Oh, and there's nobody to kiss for me. There's nobody to kiss for me.
I'm so sad and
sad and lonely, sad and lonely. Won't some sweet mama come take a chance with me? 'Cause I ain't so bad. Sing love song. Oh, love the time. She will only be balls do both the butt. Blip up.
I ain't got nobody.
Oh, and there's no matter that kiss for me. There's no matter that kiss for me. No matter that kiss for me.
I ain't got nobody.
Nobody that kiss for me. There's nobody that kiss for me.
I'm so sad and lonely.
Oh, lonely, oh, lonely, lonely, lonely. Won't some sweet mama come and rescue me? Cause I ain't so bad.
Louis Prima, Keeley Smith, Sambutera and the Witnesses, Waylon Away There From, the part of that Capital series, the Collector series. Louis Prima, mighty fine. And you get 29 cuts on this.
Hope wow.
Corona. That's value.
Yeah, I'll say.
7:13.
Is it time for the kiddies?
I think it is. Wake them, shake them. We don't have the theme music. I'm sorry, you have to hum it along in your head. And how do we open with a little intro with Dana, the
yes.
little voice, and then we stole from Rocky and Bullwinkle show.
You know, oh, right.
Professor
yep.
Peabody, the Fractured Fairy Tales.
Fractured, yep.
And then you have to imagine that, and then we're going to go into a little bit, it's both advice.
Yes.
And recollection, if you remember being 13 and three quarters.
I was a long time ago.
The Secret Diary of Adrian Mole, then. We're going to have a little continuation read by Stephen Mangan.
Wednesday, January the 14th. Join the library. Got Care of the Skin, Origin of Species, and a book by a woman my mother is always going on about. It's called Pride and Prejudice, by a woman called Jane Austen. I could tell the librarian was impressed. Perhaps she's an intellectual like me. She didn't look at my spot, so perhaps it's getting smaller. About time. Mr. Lucas was in the kitchen drinking coffee with my mother. They were laughing, but when I went in, they stopped. Mrs. Lucas was next door cleaning the drains. She looked as if she was in a bad mood. I think Mr. and Mrs. Lucas have got an unhappy marriage. Poor Mr. Lucas. None of the teachers at school have noticed that I'm an intellectual. They'll be sorry when I'm famous. There's a new girl in our class. She sits next to me in geography. She's all right. Her name is Pandora. I might fall in love with her. It's time I fell in love. After all, I am 13¾ years old. Thursday, January the 15th. Pandora has got hair the colour of treacle, and it's long like girls' hair should be. She has quite a good figure. I saw her playing netball and her chest was wobbling. I felt a bit funny. I think this is it. My father found out about the arm on the stereo. I told a lie. I said the dog jumped up and broke it. My father said he will wait until the dog is completely cured of its operation, then kick it. Mr. Lucas was in the kitchen again when I got home from school. My mother is better now, so why he keeps coming round is a mystery to me. Mrs. Lucas was planting trees in the dark. I read a bit of Pride and Prejudice, but it was very old-fashioned. I think Jane Austen should write something a bit more modern. The dog has got the same colour eyes as Pandora. I'm going to bed early to think about Pandora and do my back-stretching exercises. I haven't grown for 2 weeks. If this carries on, I'll be a midget. I'll go to the doctor's on Saturday if the spot is still there. I can't live like this with everybody staring. Friday, January the 16th. Mr. Lucas came round and offered to take my mother shopping in the car. They dropped me off at school. We saw Mrs. Lucas on the way. She was carrying big bags of shopping. My mother waved, but Mrs. Lucas couldn't wave back. It was geography today, so I sat next to Pandora for a whole hour. She looks better every day. I told her about her eyes being the same as the dog's. She asked what kind of dog it was. I told her it was a mongrel. I think she appreciates these small attentions. I started Origin of Species today, but it's not as good as the television series. Care of the Skin is dead good. I've left it open on the kitchen table on the pages about vitamins. I hope my mother takes the hint. I've made an appointment about the spot. It's turned purple. Saturday, January the 17th. I was woken up early this morning. Mrs. Lucas is concreting the front of their house, and the concrete lorry had to keep its engine running while she shovelled the concrete round before it set. Mr. Lucas made her a cup of tea. He really is kind. Dr. Taylor must be one of those overworked GPs you're always reading about. He didn't examine the spot. He just said I mustn't worry and was everything all right at home. I told him about my bad home life and my poor diet, but he said I was well nourished and to go home and count my blessings. So much for the National Health Service. I'll get a paper round and go private. Sunday, January the 18th. Mrs. Lucas and my mother had a row over the dog. It trampled on Mrs. Lucas's wet concrete. My father offered to have the dog put down, but my mother started to cry, so he said he wouldn't. All the neighbours were out in the street washing their cars and listening. Sometimes I really hate that dog. Monday, January the 19th. I've joined a group at school called the Good Samaritans. We go out into the community helping and stuff like that. We miss maths on Monday afternoons. Today we had a talk on the sort of things we'll be doing. I've been put in the old age pensioners group. Nigel has got a dead yucky job looking after kids in a playgroup. He's sick as a parrot. The dog is back at the vet's. It got concrete stuck on its paws. No wonder it was making such a row on the stairs last night. Pandora smiled at me in school dinner, but I was choking on a piece of gristle, so I couldn't smile back. Just my luck.
Oh, dear. The risks and the roller coaster of being 13¾ from The Secret Diary of Adrian Mole, written by Sue Townsend, read by Stephen Mangan.
Stephen Mangan does a really good job.
I can remember taking interest in the young woman behind me. I think it was grade, that was Miss Vielle, so it was in grade 11, I guess.
She stuck.
She responded by sticking me with a protractor right through the back of the chair.
Or a compass.
It was a long, pointed, nasty thing.
Yeah.
Remember the sort of plywood chairs that someone had managed to work its way through and then,
The way through the chair?
Yeah, well, I suppose it didn't have to be through the chair, but fortunately, it didn't go very deep. But I was a sensitive boy.
Yes.
And I shot up in the air, and then I sat forward for the rest of the class. At 7:20.
Yes.
7:20. Something from the Free Press from a week or two back. Can't always get to it right away. Want to find the right thing to how to say. This is from the Free Press intersection, where life meets culture.
Oh.
And this is about collecting. And in this case, it's Nicole McLennan. She first started collecting matchbooks as a teenager.
Oh.
Do you remember? Do you know anybody who collected matchbooks?
I did.
Yeah.
I think maybe my friend Heather did.
Well, we still have a couple. From somebody's wedding, I noticed.
I still have
some time back.
The very first wedding that I remember going to, my cousin Gail. Still have that matchbook cover, I think.
Yes, right. Yeah. Well, this Nicole McLennan, now sells multicolored, high-quality matches imported from Europe and displayed in vintage bottles and vessels.
Whoa.
Yeah. This is a piece by David Sanderson.
Oh, yes, he does those pop pieces.
Right. Titled, Love at First Strike. So, I was 13, she says, when I developed an interest in old ephemera. Matchbooks with their bold images and creative lettering appealed to me most of all, says McLennan. So, matchbooks as advertising tools, ubiquitous in the first half of the 20th century, fell out of favor in the early 1970s, primarily due to anti-smoking campaigns, coupled with Flick My Bic.
Oh, right.
The invention, of course, the disposable lighter. Lovely piece, anyways. And this woman, McLennan, discovered a husband and wife team in Lithuania, operates an enterprise peddling high-quality matches made of ash wood in a variety of sizes and shades. Placed an initial order for 500 specimens, ones with tips advertised as being banana yellow, salad green, peach orange, and lavender gray in color. Behind us, Bernard Herrmann conducting music from Fahrenheit 451. Anyways, McLennan formed Match Witch, made its official debut at a pop-up market in the Woolsey area. Chelsea McKee Trenchard, the owner of Raven's End Books at 1859 Portage. Handful of locales in the city, including Bareface General Store in Osmond Street that carries McLennan's wares on a consignment basis. So they're matches, but in a variety of little containers, little glass bottles and what have you. Pictures of them here. Match bouquets, century-old bottles, vintage tobacco boxes, Kodak film canisters. If I have one dream, it would be to have my own general store with a shelf in the corner reserved for my match bouquets. My motto is, love at first strike. And after 18 years, I'm happy to say that's still the case. Anyways, she was at a pop-up feature. Sorry, I couldn't get to that sooner, but anyways, The Match Witch is written up in the Winnipeg Free Press from Saturday or two back. You'd think they'd put a date on the page, wouldn't you? No, they didn't. But on the other side, it says June the 13th. say, I had one other thing I also wanted to mention with the Children's Corps. That was the What's on the Winnipeg Public Library. Looked at their program guide, You Can Too, on their app. The NFB Film Club, In the Closet, hilarious and honest series that investigates the relationship between the clothing in our closets and our gender identity. That's today, 2 to 3:15. Open event, you can just drop in. Carol Shields Auditorium, Millennium Library. Make Your Mark with an exclamation mark. Want to learn how to do printmaking? Don't have all the tools? Get creative and try block printing using common crafting supplies such as craft foam, markers, pens, and cardboard. All supplies, I was going to say dot, 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 probably supplied. That's today, the Ackman Children's Room at the Henderson Library. It's for teens, ages 13 to 17. You have to register. But when I looked it up right now, there are four seats left for you there. Too bad about the darning. Sorry, Carol, the darning get-together is, yep, the darning thing is full. A wait list is available for today, which is why I've got to get to these listings,
I'd say
at least a month in advance.
Yep.
Winnipeg Public Library, the program listing. You could have a look.
So I just have one more thing about the tobacco.
Oh, yes?
I have a tin of something along the lines of Presbyterian tobacco. But I'm not giving it up to that woman. I'm going to give it to a cousin who may be interested.
Who collects that sort of thing?
Well, yeah, I have to give it to him when his wife is not around because I think he's... collects too much stuff.
Uh-oh.
But right. It's full of stamps.
Uh-huh.
I got it at that little antique shop that used to be at the corner of Bannatyne and Main.
Right, I remember it, yes,
yep.
Yeah.
Yep, and they had about three little tins.
Mm.
So I took the one that was full of stamps because who knows?
Who knows?
There might be something in there.
I still have my stamp collection, you're right.
Yeah.
And my coin collection. I used to collect this and that and the other. Didn't most kids collect something?
Yeah, yeah. I collected a little... postcards.
I realize now, of course, matchbooks are not a very good idea, actually, to just leave them like in a drawer. No.
Yeah.
Yeah. Turning then to our march around the breakfast table this morning, we've gone to the Little Book of War Poets, Anthems for Doomed Youth. We read a bit before. I was going to say, it's not all World War I poetry, you know. No. This was a clearance item, it seems to me, at McNally Robinson at Grant Park. So, in this case... Simonides of Ceos, epitaph for the 300 Spartans who fought and died at Thermopylae against the Persian invasion. Go tell the Spartans, you who read, we took their orders and are dead. And then this from Rudyard Kipling. Nearly 1,500 years after the Greek poet wrote his epitaph for the dead of Thermopylae, Rudyard Kipling penned one for the dead of the First World War. This from Kipling, who wrote... Propaganda. This is from Kipling, who sent his son off to war even though his vision had him excluded from serving. If any question why we died, tell them, because our fathers lied, which is exactly what happened in Kipling's head.
Yeah.
And his son was in an Irish regiment and they never found his body. Kipling even searched the battlefield for him.
Himself. Yeah.
Then ended up writing the history of that regiment. Well, today is July the 4th.
Mm-hmm.
So those south of us are celebrating big time their Independence Day. So let's make our march around the breakfast table this morning. Then the Stars and Stripes Forever.
We'll be right back.
smoke them if you got them, but be careful with that match. At 7:31, from the best of John Philip Sousa, Stars and Stripes Forever has performed to celebrate America's Independence Day by the Central Air Force Band of the Japanese Air Self-Defense Force.
Right.
7:31, 7:32 now. Wanted to mention this to the children, so I'm missing it to their parents. The children have already probably out weeding, picking weeds now.
Don't mention it.
The big, where Big Pink is now, was once upon a time a huge garden with the McKibben family living there and the children weeding.
Yes,
wiping it down, boss, wiping it down.
We had a big property.
Yeah, it was big. How big was it, Carol?
Huge.
It was huge.
It was, I think it was about 50 to 75 feet wide.
Yep.
And you know, like ours, in our neighborhood, they're all like 25 feet. And then it was hundreds of feet deep. Hundreds.
Was there wildlife?
Well, there were raccoons.
Raccoons.
We had a dog. Right. There was a cat across the street.
That's a start, I suppose.
We had a huge garden. Huge vegetable garden.
Exactly.
And some fruit. Yep.
What kind of fruit?
Well, we had strawberries, raspberries.
Raspberries.
Yes. Plum trees.
Raspberries.
After 1967, we had crab apples.
For Canada Day, for celebrating Canada.
Yeah, City of Ottawa gave everybody who wanted a crab apple tree could pick one up. And there was a nursery right up the street, so Dad was right up there like a dirty shirt.
That's why they're so crabby.
Well.
Since 1967.
Yeah.
Yep. So with the trees, you had lots of trees. Did your father put the social insurance number on the trees as well? Or?
No, I don't think so.
We had a walnut tree.
Well, I'm not sure. Like, there was a walnut tree away at the back of the garden. I'm not sure if it was ours or Mrs. Fields.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Well, what I was going to say was, for the boys and girls, where's Waldo? Waldo in
again.
Winnipeg? Family-friendly, community-wide scavenger hunt running from July the 1st to the 31st. You have to find Waldo at as many Winnipeg sites as you can and enter to win prizes. I'll repeat that, enter to win prizes. So you want to visit McNallyRobinson.com/where's-Waldo. McNallyRobinson.com/where's-Waldo. Or you can pick this bookmark up, as I did, and scan the QR code. That's Ooga Booga to me, but anyways, yes. And there's quite a variety of participating organizations on the back then. I bet you could find Waldo at these places, like the Children's Museum, MTYP. I see what you're saying. Anyways, bookmark, shop local, find Waldo here at 7:34. Born on this day in, 1942, Hal Lanier.
Oh, right.
American baseball, San Francisco Giants, New York Yankees, player, manager, of course. Mm-hmm. Best manager we probably ever had for the Winnipeg Gold Eyes.
Yeah.
No question about that. And born on this day in 1943, Alan Wilson. Now, Alan Wilson, and I'm suddenly only his, it's gone Spanish on me, which is interesting, curious. Here we are. Alan Christie Wilson, born on this day in 1943, nicknamed Blind Owl.
Who?
American musician, co-founder, leader, co-lead singer, primary composer of the blues rock band Can't Heat. Sang, played harmonica and guitar with the group, live and recordings. Lead singer on their two biggest hits. He met Harvard student and fellow blues enthusiast David Evans in a record store. And the two began playing as a team around the Cambridge Coffeehouse folk blues circuit. And that nickname, I should say, he was traveling and he left his glasses behind.
Oops.
And he was almost blind without them.
Once. Oh,
and so whoever he was in the band with nicknamed him Blind Owl. That's where his nickname came from.
Okay.
Anyways, greatly influenced by Skip James, did a variety of voices, decided on the voice he had, which is so distinctive. He is the lead vocal on the Road Again and Going Up the Country. Can't Heat. Thank you.
so tired of crying, but I'm out on the road again. I'm on the road again. I ain't got no woman just to call my special friend. You know, the first time I traveled out in the rain and snow, in the rain and snow. You know, the first time I traveled out in the rain and snow, in the rain and snow. I didn't have no pharaoh, not even no place to go. And my dear mother left me when I was quite young, when I was quite young. And my dear mother left me when I was quite young, when I was quite young. She said, Lord, have mercy on my wicked son. Don't you cry no more, don't you cry no more. Cause it's soon one morning, down the road I'm gone. But I ain't going down that long old lonesome road all by myself. But I ain't going down that long old lonesome road all by myself. I can't carry you, baby. Carry somebody else.
Can't Heat, Ellen Wilson on lead vocal, the late Ellen Wilson. I was going to tell you what time it was, but the computer says, all right, 7:41. Carol McKibben coming up shortly, but before we do that, I guess we should talk about Victor Edward Willis, who died June 30th, American singer-songwriter, co-founded the disco group Village People.
Village People.
Well, he performed as a lead singer, co-songwriter. He was the one dressed as a policeman or a naval officer. Son of a Baptist preacher, developed his singing skills at his father's church. So, well, a variety of his career. He was, I guess, discovered is the wrong word. Jacques Morali dubbed him the young man with the big voice. Said, I had a dream. You sang lead vocals on my album. It went very, very big. So he agreed to sing lead and background vocals under the guise of Village People. So they put together all these feature these figures to represent exaggerations of American manhood, I suppose, as well.
Okay.
Macho Man, of course, YMCA.
Macho Man.
Which is still sung today.
Yes.
At the Gold Eyes games from time to time,
yes,
and sports
not very
things
often,
around.
But, yep.
And Willis once said he would sue outlets who claimed that it was a gay anthem. But it became a gay anthem, nonetheless.
It did.
Well, what have we got for the folks then? Let's hear Victor Willis and the crowd, the boys in full regalia, doing YMCA. People, YMCA, from the two CD set, Disco Gold. Free Press, big obituary for Victor Willis in Friday's paper. Village People Cop, front man, wrote biggest hits. 2020, YMCA, included in the National Recording Registry of the U.S. Library of Congress, inducted in the Grammy Hall of Fame. And his obit is right next to an obituary for Michael Byrne. B-Y-R-N-E, British actor known for Braveheart, Indiana Jones, and we know him for
Coronation Street.
He played Gail's father.
Yes.
Andy. I think he may have had a brief fling with Audrey there as well. Oh, you'd recognize his face if you saw him. He well, a lot of actors want to be on Coronation Street, even
yes.
if just for a brief little.
Judi Dench wanted to be on Coronation Street. I don't think she will now.
Ian McKellen was.
Ian McKellen was.
Playing a scoundrel.
Well,
course,
and
yes.
for possibly still, not a regular, though, is a woman who plays Evelyn.
Oh, Maureen.
Maureen Lipman.
Lipman, yes.
yes.
She's very good when she's
yes.
on stage
Excellent.
In London. Yes.
Yep.
Prince Charles has been on Coronation Street.
Yeah, yes,
way,
but
visited,
not in the show.
Right, not
yeah.
the show, no. 7:47, Carol McKinnon.
Yes.
What have you got for the folks?
Well, I was discussing periods of music, and the period I am going to discuss is actually the Renaissance. It's before the Baroque. And the Baroque is before Rococo, so I'm not exactly sure where classical fits in. Maybe after Rococo, I don't know. In any case, I'm going to talk today about William Byrd. And don't ask me, Ron, when he was born, because way back then, they weren't keeping...
It's a mystery.
Yes,
it's like 2,000-year-old man.
Yes. Not keeping very good records, necessarily, if you weren't top of the pops. So he was born around 1539, 1540, somewhere in there, and died at the age of 83, so that's a pretty good age, on this day, July 4th, 1623, in Essex, in England. And when I say Renaissance, he probably, by the end of his long life, was Baroque. He was an English organist and composer. Sort of best known for his development of the English madrigal. He also wrote music that elevated the English keyboard style. So, as I say, we don't know much about his origins and early life, except that he was a pupil of the organist and composer Thomas Tallis. And we do know Tallis from his canon. And his first authenticated appointment was as organist at... your favorite, Lincoln Cathedral.
Look for the imp.
Yes, well, it's where your mother's family was from, right, Lincoln?
Nearby, Deeping St. James.
There you go. In Lincolnshire. In 1572, he went back to London to take up a post as gentleman of the Chapel Royal, where he shared duties as organist with Tallis. And their relationship had important musical consequences. Queen Elizabeth I granted them a joint monopoly for importing, printing, publishing, and sale of music and printing of music paper. The first work under their imprint appeared in that in 1575 and was dedicated to the Queen and was 34 motets, sort of shared almost half and half between the two of them. That was the year that, the year that refusal to attend Anglican service laws began to be enforced. Byrd and his family, that's it, we're moving to Middlesex. And as a devout, lifelong Roman Catholic, he probably preferred the greater privacy of living outside London. His loyalty to the government was never questioned. The death of Tallis, 1585, may have prompted Byrd to organize his music, so in the next 3 years, he published four collections of his own music and two further books. The two secular volumes were dedicated to Sir Christopher Hatton, Lord Chancellor, and Henry Carey, Lord Chamberlain, and he was first cousin to the Queen. The books of motets were dedicated to prominent Catholics. In 1591, a manuscript volume of his keyboard music was prepared, and many more keyboard pieces like the Carman's Whistle, which is found in the early 17th century volume known as the Fitzwilliam Virginal Book. About 1593, Byrd moved with his family to Essex, where he lived for the rest of his life. And when James first came up, the Catholics' prospects temporarily brightened, and it probably prompted Byrd's next three publications. So, his legacy is that his stature can hardly be overrated, really. He wrote extensively for every medium then available, except for the lute. His music brought the English keyboard style to new heights and pointed the way to the achievements of other English composers. He also played an extremely important role pioneering the development of the freely composed fantasia, which was to become the most important form of Jacobean and later composers. And although he admired Italian madrigals and as publisher helped introduce them to England, he sometimes added texts to the polyphonic accompaniments of these songs, turning them into madrigals. So, Ron.
Carol.
You know what polyphonic?
Lots of sound.
Lots of sound.
Varied.
Yes, and varied. Because, you know, in our choir, when you are singing Swing Low, Sweet Chariot,
Swing Low,
and I am singing Swing Low, When the Saints Go Marching In.
Yes.
That's polyphonic.
You can see the audience's eyeballs crossing.
Sometimes I can see Marjorie's
eyes crossing too.
Yeah.
Our choir director.
Yeah. Yes.
Polyphonic.
So when you've got two completely different pieces of music, it's not like a canon or fugue where you take the same piece and keep putting it over top of itself. These are two
Christmas
completely...
Christmas is coming, the goose is getting fat. Yeah.
No, yeah. No. Yeah, that kind of thing.
No.
Okay. Anyways, he was a pro at the polyphonic style. He composed a great deal of church music to English words, most of which survived only in manuscript. And it can't be denied, he maintained his highest consistent level in Latin sacred music. Of this, the sets of sacred cantons, let's say, have an intensity unrivaled in England and a breadth of scale unknown on the continent. And his gradualia, necessarily more concise and superficially more similar to the work of Palestrina, closer examination reveals most individuality as well as an astonishing consistent level of inspiration. So, I believe you have the Carmen's
Whistle by William Byrd.
And so Carmen, these days, we would say Mr. Carter. Carmen ran a cart and whistled to his horses.
Okay, okay.
And that's where this comes from.
The Baltimore concert, and it's Webb Wiggins in particular on the virginal.
Okay.
Thank you.